The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Just the Sip. Today, I am bringing on someone who is not afraid to bear it all. And she does it inside and outside of the wrestling ring. Her name is Lea Vandel, and you may know her from WWE and Total Divas, but she is here to talk about her brand new podcast, Bear With Us, that's out every Thursday. Please welcome Miss Lea Vandel.
Oh, what an introduction, by the way.
But so just so you know, when other podcast people come on, I have to step my game up. You know what I mean?
Right, for sure.
You got to step your game up. But also, when somebody comes on that has a little bit of expertise of something that we have been talking about, you know, so frequently in quarantine is relationships. So you started a podcast called Bear With Us with your boyfriend, Matt Polinsky. How did that come about?
I mean, I'm so excited that this even happened. This was never a thing. Like, it was never supposed to be a thing, but we can thank quarantine for this because that's why we're in the position we're in now. I mean, we're quarantining together and we're just so bored. So like one night we're having drinks and I was like, you know what we should do? Like maybe tomorrow we should do a little talk show on my Instagram. And he was like, I thought he for sure was going to be like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. But he was like, okay. And again, he had been drinking. So I'm like, is he going to remember in the morning that like he agreed to do this? So at like 10 a.m. rolled around and he's like, are we ready to do it? I'm like, hell yeah, like let's do it. So we just kind of like started this little talk show we did on my Instagram live, and he started comparing what really made it like a thing was he started comparing our sex life to pandas and made it seem like he didn't want to mate with me in quarantine. And I was like, wait a minute, like, and he didn't realize it was coming out of his mouth that it was like insulting. He just thought it was okay, we're in quarantine, we're together all the time. And then it got picked up by all of these news sites and it turned into this huge thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm great now. The entire world knows that you don't want to have sex with me. So that's cool.
By the way, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, because I know girlfriends who are like, I can't even run from my man because he can't give his hands off me. Most couples revert to the other side. Why do you think that you went from a healthy, healthy sex life to I don't want to touch you right now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I was like your friends. I was like, this was appalling to me. I was like, because I'm like throwing myself at him because I'm like, you know, so bored all the time. Like, let's, you know, but for whatever reason, apparently pandas don't like to mate when they're in captivity. And that's what he compared it to. So, and I was like, well, can you just clarify this for everyone and know, like, it's nothing that I'm doing wrong. Okay. This is on your end, dude. So then, oh my God, it would just turn into this whole thing. So then like our friends and everyone started, you know, asking us these relationship questions on the show. So we're like, maybe this is a thing. And then we just decided, no, let's just do a podcast.
But what happens? Because you guys have been together for 3 years.
No, it's only been a year. We've been together.
It's only been a year. It's only been a year.
Yes.
Only been a year. Even worse. Because right? If you're only been together for 12 months and some change, bitch, you should be popping the coochie all the time, in the words of Two Live Crew.
Yes. Okay. So he later apologized and realized what he said sounded a little insensitive. And he just, like, 2 days later, it was remedied. So it was literally maybe like a 2 or 3 day stint that we went. But I guess because we're so used to having this very healthy sex life, so to go from, like, you know, keeping it exciting and doing all of this sexy stuff. And then all of a sudden now we're just in our sweatpants every day. So I think maybe that was like a little shocking for him. I'm going to give him that, but come on, dude.
Yeah. I love that you were like, I've been wasting my time this whole time pulling out the La Perla, doing X, Y, and Z, and you didn't even want like, this.
What?
But it's so crazy that your mind automatically went to, please let people know that it's not me. Because I think a lot of times when sex lives and couples go downhill, they blame the woman, that totally. The woman loses interest, or the woman, there's something wrong with the woman. Why right. is that, you think, that in society that we automatically... Even as women, because I'm a woman, right. I'm a woman on the inside. Even as women, we're like, what did I do wrong?
Right. And that's, I don't know. I just think it's something that we do as society. It's like you think, oh, the man, you know, he has a sex drive. And the woman, it's like, we're just kind of there to satisfy the man. But honey, it doesn't work like that over here.
Because I'm like, look, I'm looking at you, boo. And look, I'm a gay man. But those quarantine nails, those roots are popping. I see the low cut top. Like, you are giving me some
good vibes. Whatever you gotta do, you know.
How old is your man?
36.
So he's a young dude.
Yeah, and he's gonna be so embarrassed listening to this now. Like, come on, that wasn't like a thing. But it's just like, you know, the internet blows everything up. So like, he said one little thing, sort of, it was a joke, and then it turned into this whole thing. He's like, you think I don't have sex with my girlfriend? Come on. But you know how the internet works.
What's been the hardest topic that you guys had to tackle as a couple on this podcast?
So far we're trying to keep it pretty light. We've had, I think this has maybe been 5 or 6 episodes out. So it's still very, it's new. But there's a lot of stuff we want to dive into that we're just trying to wait, because we don't want to make it too heavy to begin with, you know?
Okay, well, hold on. Let me ask you this. Since it's light right now, what's the one thing that you know you're going to have to dive into, but you're hesitant to do it?
Well, for sure. I mean, how we came out to the world, we came out with this bogus story in the New York Post because he's divorced. So his ex, you know, put these allegations out there that were not true. And we were actually filming Total Divas at the time. So I was grateful that I was able to, you know, show my side of the story and the truth that actually was real. So I know people are asking a lot about that. And he has kids. And, you know, what's it like for me to, you know, come into this life with this man that now has 3 young children? And that's definitely something we want to dive into and talk to, but we don't want to get there yet. You know, we want to wait.
Yeah. Well, woman to woman, like, you don't have to give me all of it. But I've known people, celebrities, who have been painted as the other woman, and they can't tell their stories. Right. What was it like sitting back, knowing that all of these things were said about you, and no matter what you said, you couldn't get away from it for a period of time?
It was super difficult. I mean, I've been in the public eye, but I've never been to a point where, you know, stories or allegations are coming out. I didn't think I was even on a level to where people would care about things like that. So
now you're famous. You know what I mean?
So like, for something like that to come out, I mean, it was difficult. And because I couldn't say my side right away, because I couldn't, you know, fight back, it was just like, I was getting death threats. I was just getting, you know, all these awful things said about me. My grandmother's calling me like, what is this? You're on the New York Post about, you know, wrecking a home. And I'm like, no, like, this is not the case. Like, no, it sucked. You know, I'm not going to lie.
Did you ever feel the need to, because I told my friend, I was like, you know what? You should just call her and you should just say, look, I would never, because, you know, sometimes hearing it from a woman is different than what goes on in your head. Did you ever feel like you wanted to call her and just set the record straight because it was kind of a misunderstanding?
Well, there was no record to set straight. You know, they were already in the process of a divorce. He was living on his own. It's not like they were just, you know, together living this happy life. And I just decided, you know what, let me just come in. And it wasn't like that, but that was the picture that was painted. And then later it comes out, you know, oh, they weren't living together. They're already in the process of their divorce. It wasn't anything like what the picture that was painted about me. So
yeah.
I just kind of felt like I knew I didn't need to defend myself, but I just wish that at the time people knew the truth.
100%. But you did get vindication because you did get to tell your side of the story on Total Divas.
Yeah, which I was very grateful. I'm like, oh, bitch, you have no idea. These cameras are here. Like, the truth.
I am ready.
Oh, honey, yes.
Another thing that you mentioned was dating a man with 3 kids. A lot of women say, oh my God, I don't want to date a man with baggage. I don't know if I can be a man with an ex-wife and 3 kids. Were you one of those women before you met Matthew?
I wasn't necessarily one of those women, but I was a girl who grew up, you know, wanting this, you know, perfect life. Like, we want to grow up, find a man, get married, have children. And that was like something I want to be a mother. And that's something I've always wanted. I always imagined having children of my own. But I just feel so strongly about him. I love him so much. And I just, like, there was nothing that was going to, I mean, if we got past that whole, this was in the very beginning of our relationship when all of these allegations were coming out. We had just started dating.
What a way to start a relationship.
Right. So he was like, if you leave me right now, I totally get it. You know, like, and I felt so bad that he would even think that, like, but to me, he was so worth all of the bullshit that we went through. And I adore his children. And this wasn't something I ever envisioned for my life. But now that I'm in this life, I couldn't imagine any other way.
100%. I like a man with kids because I always say that when you meet a man who has kids, you already know what kind of person they are by what kind of dad they are.
Yeah, it's like I was in love with him from the beginning, right? But then when I saw him with his kids, that made me love him in such a different way than I've ever loved any man before. I was just like, wow, like he's such an incredible, incredible father. It melts my heart.
The only fear I have with dating a man with kids, because it's happened to me before.
Okay.
And I had to learn the hard way because everybody warned me. A lot of people warned me about it, but I was so young and I was so dumb and I was in love and I thought I was going to be like the perfect stepmom, like Julia Roberts in Stepmom. And I was going to fight with his ex-wife. But my one fear, and it's a real fear, is that you meet a man, he has three kids, and then when it comes time for you to want another child, he says, well, I've already done that in my life.
Sure.
Does that thought ever cross your mind?
I was worried about that in the very beginning because I didn't want to be like, oh, you have three kids, but I want a kid. I didn't want to, like, you know.
Bombard him.
Yeah, bombard him. Exactly.
In the first 6 months, you never want him. But you got to marry.
Exactly, because I'm putting in all this work here, and then if you don't want a kid, like, that's not going to fly with me. But he's so open to it. For him, he's like, whatever you want. If you want a kid, that's great. If you don't, I'm fine too. So he's like leaving the ball in my court on that. He's just the best. Even lately, I've been thinking, you know what? I love his children so much. Like, maybe I don't need a child of my own. Like, to me, like, I love, you know, having his kids around and being around his kids. So I'm just kind of going with the flow. No plans, no idea what the future holds.
I love that. You know, I'm 32.
Oh, me too.
Oh, good. Oh, we're the same age.
Yes.
I'm 32. I'm very ambitious. And there's something about a relationship where I think people aren't having those hard conversations early on in their relationships. Like, I truly believe, like, if I'm going to be with somebody for 3 months, we can have those hard conversations immediately. Not too hard, but we could slowly start to have them. The one conversation I find it hard to have with the guys that I'm dating is about finances.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah.
So you're dating a guy. You also are multi-hyphenated when it comes to businesses. You have a wine line. You're like an entrepreneur. You're on a TV show. You're a performer. How do you have those like delicate conversations about how much money you make and where your money should be allocated and all of these things? Like, how does that come up?
So that's something that, for me, like you said, I'm an independent woman. I make my own money. I'll never have to rely on a man for money. And I love it that way. My money is my money and I can spend my money on whatever I want. Mm-hmm. Me, I just feel like, and I've just been so independent my entire life. I've never had to be like, oh, like, do you mind if I spend money on that? And I never want to be in a relationship like that. I feel like if I make my own money, I can do what I want. And he makes his money. And we kind of just leave it as that right now. You know, we're not really like worried about that.
But what if your man comes to you and says, we got this $3 million house, this $7 million house we can buy right now, but I'm going to need you to put $50 on that down payment.
Oh, no, honey. Uh-uh. No.
Oh, wait.
No.
Wait. Oh, okay. So what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine.
Mine. No, I feel like what's yours is yours. What's mine is mine. And I feel like we've only been together a year. If he was in a position where he needed help with anything, of course I would be there for him and I would hope vice versa. But I just feel like right now, I don't know, like I own a home in Florida, but we live in Pennsylvania together because that's where he's from and his kids are here. But I still have a house in Florida. That's just mine.
So you always have a hoe pad though. My grandmother always said you have a hoe pad. You keep a little space just for yourself, even if it's like a shack somewhere.
Sure.
And you get like two friends or three friends to invest in a hoe pad just in case one of you has to pull the parachute one day and get out.
Yeah, I love that little hoe pad. I'm obsessed.
This is my hoe pad.
I love that.
I will forever have
my little hoe pad. I get my sister's living there. She takes care of it for me. And you know, if I ever want to go, which I do, you know, maybe once a month, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go down to Florida, do my thing, hang out with my sister. It's just great.
So what was your schedule? Because he is also in the WWE.
Yes.
So you guys were traveling how many months out of the year before quarantine hit?
52 weeks a year. We don't have an off season.
Wait, hold on. So you guys flip and tumble and crack and whip and punch and kick 52 weeks out of the year.
52 weeks a year. This is the first time in 7 years that I've had any time to just like be. Like I'm sitting at home and I'm just relaxing. I'm like, this is so wild. At first I was going nuts because like I said, 52 weeks a year, 4 or 5 days a week we're on the road. Then you're home for maybe 2 days to like get home, unpack, do laundry, repack. You're on the road again. I did that for 5 years straight. 5 years. No, I never been injured. I've never had time off. Nothing. So it was such a drastic change to go from all of that to just, you know, doing nothing.
First of all, I'd be faking some injuries to go sit my ass in Miami. Okay. I would always have the same neck issue because nobody's sending me off a top rope with a neck brace. Okay. But what's it like? Because I know when people that are in quarantine, couples mm-hmm. who are normally one of them lives a fast life who's always gone, or both of them lives a fast life who's always gone, to all of a sudden be stuck in a home together, not really stuck, but forced in a home together for an extended amount of time. How hard was that for you to adjust with your man?
Well, so we just moved in together at the end of December. So we were only living together maybe 3 months till we started getting quarantine till the quarantine started. And at first it was weird, but if anything, I think it brought us closer together. We just have really enjoyed our time together and just we're turning into this like old married couple. Like we wake up, we have coffee together, we go for a bike ride or we go walk our dog. We watch like Jeopardy and Family Feud and like Wheel of Fortune and then we go to bed. And it's like, I never imagined this for my life, but we're just loving it.
Are you going to miss it? Because something about being on the road, like I like a business trip. Because I like a business trip booty call. You know, I got hoes in different area codes.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Which I know when you were single in 27, 28, and you went to Tallahassee, you had a dude in Tallahassee. You know, we all have that one dude in like that major city where we know we're going to go all the time. You know, is it going to make you miss like having this 3 months, having this 4 months, whatever, how much time it's going to be to really connect with him and to give that all up to go back on the road? Are you going to start second guessing your career?
I think even being in quarantine, not that I've second guessed my career, but I just felt like I'm such a career woman. I just am like work, work, work. That's all I've ever done for like, just put work first. And I realized over these last few months, like, being with my boyfriend, being with his kids, and just this family life, it's just really opened my mind to realize, okay, this is actually what's most important in life. Work is fine, but at the same time, I mean, I'll definitely miss this downtime. I will.
Girl, don't let a man hear you say that.
I mean, trust me, like once I get back to the grind and on the road again, I'm sure I'll just jump right back into it and it'll be great. But I will always like, you know, I'll cherish this time.
What's your advice to women who are in a newer relationship that are stuck at home with their man looking at his nasty ass? And at this point, if he breathes too hard, you want to snap his motherfucker. neck.
100%. Well, I feel like if you already had like a rocky relationship prior to quarantine, this is just going to solidify that. So I feel like if you can't make it through quarantine with your partner, then they're not the right partner. Not to say like my boyfriend and I haven't had a few like little tiffs or anything like that, because 100. I mean, that's only normal, right? But yeah. I feel like we haven't bitten each other's heads off because we're both like open and honest. Like if he does something to piss me off, I have to tell him. And vice versa, because if I hold that in, then all of a sudden I'm going to explode over something that's not even a big deal. And that's something I had to talk to him about because he holds things in. So then all of a sudden he gets mad about something I did like 6 weeks ago. And I'm like, hello, like, I don't, how am I supposed to know? I can't read your mind. So
but that's a man. That's a man.
It's true. But he's gotten so much better. So I feel like you have to just be honest and talk, have open conversations, and it might suck, but you'll get through it, you know?
So you're training your dragon. You're basically training your dragon.
Right. Oh, yes, honey. I am such a good trainer. And he's such a good little pet, you know? He's learning well.
He's ready. What do you say to a woman who is, because I'm an independent bitch and I like my own space. And I find that I date people who also are independent or busy to where, like, I can live my best life. And, you know, now being in confinement because I was supposed to be with somebody. Ooh, this is going to be crazy. But I kind of broke it off because I know that he would want me to be, you know, glued to him at all times. Oh, but okay. I'm just not that person. Mm-hmm. What do you say to the woman who's finding it hard to find that balance?
I'm the same way. So I love to just be busy and do my own thing. I'm a homebody. I like to be on my own schedule. If I want to go do something, I'm just going to go do it. And that's something that my boyfriend is so opposite. So he wants to be around each other all the time and, you know, do things together. And that's something like, because like I said, I have my little hoe pad, as you call it, in Florida.
Yeah.
So when I got to a point where I felt like I'm like, okay, I've been in this house for so long. I need to go see my sister and just need some interaction with somebody who's not you. He definitely got annoyed at first. But I'm like, I came back and I was so much happier. I was myself. And it was just a few days just hanging out with my sister, just literally sitting on the couch drinking wine and chatting, just being with her. I came home and I was a much better version of myself. And he saw that. So I think now he's starting to understand, like, I need some time alone. And when I get that, I'm a better girlfriend for you and a better partner. So
but how do you say it? Like, how do you say, like, do you lie? Because, you know, white lie never hurt nobody.
I agree, but I feel like all the little white lies will eventually add up to, like, some big – it'll combust. I hate lying, so I just have to be honest. I just say, you know what, like, I feel like for me, for my soul, I need to go see my sister. I need to be with her. I just need to laugh and just need some girl time. And he wasn't having it at first. But then, like I said, I came back, and he was like, oh, okay. Like, so you just have to be honest. Like, I'm sick of seeing your face right now and I need to go see someone else's. As handsome as you are, I need a little break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When I'm in a relationship, oh my God, this is going to be TMI. And if anybody does not want to hear this, if you have like a weak stomach, get the fuck off the phone, okay? I've been in a 2.5-year relationship, a 10-month relationship, and a year relationship. And the one thing I cannot do in front of a man or in the presence of a man is do the number two.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
If I'm on vacation, I will rent another hotel room across the hallway without him knowing.
Oh, yeah.
In order to run in there and do my thing. Or I'll get up in the morning and I'll like go to the gym by myself.
Go to the gym. Yes.
Talk to the game manager because I know like we've like made friends and like explain my situation. So to be in quarantine with somebody right now, like not being able to live freely as I, you know, should be living freely. Meanwhile, I'm on all these probiotics. Like, I don't know how I would make it.
It's so funny you're saying this, because this was a topic of conversation we had on last week's podcast, talking all about bodily functions, because my boyfriend, you can't talk about anything like that in front of him. He has a weak stomach. So if you even say, like, if I'm like, I have a stomach ache, he's like, I don't want to know. Like, you can't even talk about. Yeah. So that was something that was super difficult for me, especially because we'd be in hotel rooms together and staying together on the road. I would get like the worst stomach ache for like 5 days, because I'm like, I'm with you every second of the day. I need to go to the bathroom.
Like, can you leave?
Like, get the hell out of here.
Can you leave? I once went to Mykonos with this dude, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. We're in a villa in the middle of nowhere with like six people. So then I was like, I'm just going to make it through the day. I'm not going to figure this out. My body and my mind, for some reason, are in sync.
Oh, well, you're very lucky.
I did not. Nope. Not once. Like, I didn't even think about it for 6 days. Oh. Got on the flight back home. He was like, let's stop in London for 2 nights. I'm like, I was like, I miss my dog. I'm like, I miss my dog. He's like, you don't even have any animals. What are you talking about? So we stay, you know, I want to be like the good boyfriend. And I stay in London for 2 more days. And I'm like, oh my God. So then I get on the flight to LA, and I'm like, I'm going to knock myself out in hopes that like whenever I'm just going to sleep for, you know, the 10 hours, I'm not going to think about anything. I'm going to eat a nice light dinner. And the lady comes on and she's like, tonight's dinner is chicken tikka masala. And I'm like, no, I can't do it.
Oh my God, that's the worst.
8 days.
Oh my God, that is awful. That's like, that sounds like me with my boyfriend though. Like one time we were on the road for a few days, then we went to Boston for a few days, and we were supposed to go to like a Red Sox game, do the whole thing. We got in a little fight the last night we were supposed to be there, and then he was supposed to go back home to Connecticut. I was going to go to Florida. And mind you, I'd been with him 5 days, have not gone to the bathroom. So the next morning he's like, I'm so sorry about last night. Like, let's have one more night together. He's like, come home with me to Connecticut and then I'll fly you home the next day. And I was like, no, I can't do it. And he was so mad at me that I wouldn't go. So finally, I had to just explain to him, like, I'm at the airport to go home. And I was like, I'm so sorry, but I just haven't gone to the bathroom in 6 days.
By the way, you like this. I picked that fight with you so I can go home and take a
He was like, well, why didn't you just tell me that? I'm like, because you don't like talking about it. I feel like I couldn't tell you. It was like so awful. He's like, damn, I didn't know it was that hard to talk to.
And ladies, this is why you need a hope hat, also known as a thought spot, also known as a slut hut. Okay.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed. A slut hut.
You need it. You need a slut hut. And not to like, not to do nasty things.
No.
Just to like, I have like my colognes out. Sure. I have like, you know, like all
like
my
how cute... you want it, you know?
Yes.
It's like so cute. And you like, yeah, no one's telling you you can't put that there. No, it's yours.
Is there anything that you learned about yourself or about your man that surprised you during this quarantine?
I feel like I learned about myself that I am not as high maintenance as I thought I was. I will say that. The fact that I was like always getting my hair done, my nails done, massage, like, you know, trying to take care of myself and all of that. I'm like, maybe I'm not as bougie as I thought. So I learned that about myself.
Oh no, you're that girl. You're that girl who gets with a man and he's like, yeah, bro, but just like that, you're so laid back and you're so chill and you like sweatpants and stuff. And then you start buying into it.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No, that's not what I mean. I just mean like, I think because I haven't been working as much, I feel like I don't have to keep up with this, I don't know, image that we're supposed to portray to the world. And I know that sounds shallow, but I just feel like, that's the job that I'm in. That's the image we're supposed to portray. You always have to look a certain way, be a certain way, be on. And I realized, you know what? I don't need to do that. Like, I'm just me. Trust me, I love getting full glam. I love the hair. I mean, I still have my nails done. I have nowhere to go, but my nails are done. But I don't know. You better. But I just feel like maybe I'm not as high maintenance as I once thought I was. Or maybe I am. I don't know.
It's so crazy that you bring up – you're still that high maintenance. Trust me. And we all miss a good beat.
Like a good highlight. I cannot do a good highlighter. I can't.
Ooh, when they touch that nose with that contour brush one time, the first time I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry when I get my makeup done.
Seriously.
So crazy. Because I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she was, you know, it's always about getting the perfect photo for social media when it comes to she and her man. Mm-hmm. And I always fight with her. I'm like, yo, like, you're going to run yourself wild trying to, like, please people and trying to put on this facade. What's it like? And she's not in the public eye. Like, she's not a celebrity by any means. She just has 1,600 followers and she wants to look perfect all the time.
Right.
At what point in your relationship did you stop trying to look or present that everything was perfect on social media? Because, you know, you date that hot Matt Polinsky. God,
no. Oh, he's such a babe. Oh,
is so that a neck tattoo I saw in a photo?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Where is he from?
He's from Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Yes, honey. Let me just.
Now, let's also pour one out for all the D I'm not getting.
No, but I think, like, to your question about how portraying this perfect life or this perfect relationship, from the beginning, it was never perfect. So I think that, if anything, maybe took pressure off the fact that we had to act like we have this perfect relationship, because from the beginning, it was from what everyone else thought. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, oh, damn, all these people already think all these negative things. So, like, we can't really do anything wrong. So I think we kind of, if I could take one thing out of that whole mess, then it's like, I'll take it, you know?
I'm looking at this photo of this man. Y'all need to Google Matt Polinsky with a denim cutoff vest.
That was back in his wrestling days. Oh, my God.
I did not even know they made him like that in Pittsburgh.
I just can't. Even when I first met him, like when I first started wrestling, like, I just, like, this guy from afar, I was like, oh, he's a babe. I had a boyfriend at the time, but I was like, So the fact that I even ended up with him is, like, points for me.
Girl, you knew you already had it, okay? You knew you were just like, I'm just going to wait until he's single.
I'll wait that shit out.
Wait that shit out. By the way, to your point, like, it sucks that, like, people thought that there was some infidelity and it was so stupid. But, like, I know as well as you know, you lose them how you get them. And I don't want to get somebody like that because I'm going to end up losing them like that.
100%. Totally. And I would never, I could never be with somebody who would be like that. You know, I just couldn't. So I don't know. People can think whatever they want. Karma is a bitch and always works itself out. I always say that. So I just let it do its job.
I've been bit by her a few times in my younger years. Sure. I swear she taught me a few good lessons when I was younger, and I didn't realize them until I was a tiny bit older, but I really believe in karma, and I believe the universe will hand you back, you know, what you've kind of taken from her.
Yeah, what you deserve. Yeah. It always works out. And that's why, like, at the time, you know, I was, like, really going through it, and my mom, my friends, my family, all, you know, it all worked itself out. What goes around comes around, so...
Tell me about this wine. Ew. My producer would not tell me. She was like, I'm not telling you what the wine is called. She has to tell you because she has to tell you what it means and you will die.
So it's called Capo Cagna, which means boss bitch in Italian. Yeah. So, it's been something that I've been working on for years. And finally, it came into fruition. We launched in October. And you can get it online, which has really been great during quarantine because people can't leave their homes. So you can get the wine delivered right to your front door. And it's just something like I try to think of what I like to do outside of work, outside of wrestling.
Drink.
Well, I like to drink. So I might as well get into that business. And I like wine, but I'm not a wine snob. Like that's what our whole tagline is. It's caution, not for wine snobs. Because if you're sitting there drinking your wine, you're like, I taste notes of wood and cedar and dog fur, whatever the hell you taste notes of in your wine. Like,
what kind of wine you drinking, bitch? Because I've never had a wine with wood, dog fur, or cedar.
Well, that's what I feel like these wine snobs sound like. You know, they're like, I smell. I'm like, no, you know you don't. Like, how do you taste a hint of wood in your wine? I don't know. So I know nothing about that. All I know is I like a good wine. I don't want to spend a lot of money on my wine. And that's what this is. It makes you feel like you're a little bougie, but if you're on a budget.
And what kind of wine is it? Like, is it a red? Is it a white?
I have a red and a white. So I have a Cabernet and a Chardonnay. And I'm hoping to maybe by next year have a rosé. But right now I'm just trying to focus. It's small. We're starting out small. And we'll go from there.
That's amazing. You know, I've been a part of, I worked for a woman who was on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills for 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, being on my own show now, I feel like sometimes we see each other so much that this quarantine's been really nice for us.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I miss you guys, but I don't want to talk to you every day because we've been together for 3 years. Every morning at 6:30, you see me at my worst.
Sure.
Do you still keep up with the girls from Total Divas during this quarantine, or are you on intermittent fasting from them?
I love a good intermittent fast. Let me just tell you that.
Love.
But for the most part, I have been keeping in touch with them. Like, I feel like those girls, it sounds so cliche to say, but they're like my sisters. Like, we were on the road together 4 or 5 days a week for years. You see them more than you see your own family. So I don't know. When I don't talk to them, it's weird. So I love keeping in touch with them.
Are you flying 4 or 5 days a week, or are you on a bus?
You fly into the city. Usually it would be on a Saturday, and then you drive yourself to the cities. So it's like you're on a mini tour every week. You drive yourself, and then on Wednesdays you would fly home. So then basically then you're home for Thursday and Friday, then you fly back out on Saturday, and then you drive, then you fly. It's a whole thing.
So they're flying you to New York, but you go to Rochester and Buffalo one trip.
Yeah. And then maybe you end up in Pittsburgh and then you fly home from Pittsburgh or wherever. So there's usually 4 different cities.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I used to want to be a wrestler back in the day.
Really?
I wouldn't be in NWO.
Okay.
I would have been in, what's that? Triple X. What was that?
Oh,
Generation
DX.
X?
Yeah. Degeneration X.
Yes. I would have been in Degeneration X.
Okay.
Or I would have been the guy at the front desk at Paul Bearer's funeral home mortuary.
Oh, so I
would
have been with God, Bear. I'm obsessed. I love that.
Right? Because for some reason, like, I would never be the Undertaker. I would just be the dude who would talk in front of the Undertaker.
Sure. And then hide behind him.
And then hide behind yes. him when
I love it.
When Kane comes out to yes. fight. I'm
I
gone.
Love it.
I'm gone. Okay. Oh my God. I cannot even tell you, like, rethinking my childhood and going through like all of it.
Isn't it so funny? Everyone can relate to it because everyone remembers who they watched when they were kids. You know, it's so funny.
Like, who was yours?
Mine was Miss Elizabeth. I was obsessed with her. She was married, or at one point married, a Macho Man. And like,
oh my
Macho
God,
Man would put her on his shoulder yes, and yes. she'd wave. And she was just so fabulous. And to me, I was like, oh, that's my bitch. Like, I loved her.
How crazy that, like, you know, immortalized a woman in wrestling, and women were never in the ring. Unless they were side chicks.
Like,
or they were
panties. Yeah.
Like, yeah. They were, yeah. What's it like to now be a part of something that allows women to be just as badass as men?
It's so cool. Like, because I idolized Miss Elizabeth when I was a kid, my dad was a wrestler. So that's why I watched it growing up.
Because really?
He did it. He was no one big or anything like that, but he, you know, wrestled on TV. And so, and he would always say, oh, you need to be a diva. You need to be in it. But that was back when, like, women were just in bra and panties. And I was like, I don't want to do that. So then when it started shifting, I was like, that's when I started getting involved. And to me,
because China came on the scene.
China was a bad bitch, you know.
China, like, was a bad bitch.
She was a bad bitch. And to see, you know, for everything that she did in her career was just amazing. And to now be a part of this shift and this change for the women, and to know, like, okay, the women are main eventing, and it's to a point where it's not even a big deal that the women are the main event anymore. Whereas before, I'd be like, oh my gosh, the women are the main event tonight, or the first time ever the women have a Royal Rumble match. And now we're so far past these first evers. And it's just, oh yeah, the women are the main event. No big deal. And I love that we're finally at that point where we're just equal. It's nothing that we're doing is even a big deal. I mean, we went through everything that was a big deal. Oh, like, I got to be the first Miss Money in the Bank and do all of these cool things, the first evers. But mm-hmm. now we're past those first evers. And it's just normal now for all the women to be kicking ass.
I feel like the women are bigger than the men.
They're such a draw. And, you know, it's really cool to be a part of Total Divas because to now show, you know, there's this whole new audience that we get from E to be able to come over and watch. Oh, like, I want to see what these women do. And, you know, the women are such a big draw now. And, you know, we had Ronda Rousey and she was such a big name. And it's just, it's really cool to, you know, be a woman in the WWE right now.
For sure. This is so crazy. Oh my God. Just go back to my childhood one for 1 second. I remember like watching and like they wouldn't tell you, like back in the day, there was no like, if you didn't get the TV guide, you didn't know who was wrestling that day.
Sure, yeah.
But every now and then you would hear that like glass break and it would be Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out, like up like with a beer, two beer cans, and he would run up on people's matches, and it was amazing.
Totally. He's the man.
That was everything. I forgot about The Rock too.
The Rock, like, come on. And it's cool because these guys still come back every now and then. So like to have stars like that come back, when you're out there and you hear that music, there's nothing like it, because there'll never be any stars as big as Stone Cold or as big as The Rock. Like, they're just like here, you know? They're that's cream of the crop.
Oh my God. Cage matches. Hell in a Cell. Remember those?
Oh yeah. They still do them. We still do them.
It was like crazy. What's Jerry's last name?
Jerry Lawler. Yep.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is like, it's crazy because you're a part of an institution that like everybody knows. It's like being a NASCAR driver. Even if you don't watch NASCAR, you understand what NASCAR is.
Yep. That's a great analogy, actually, because it's true. When people ask what I do, you know, I say, oh, I work for WWE. And sometimes they might not necessarily know, but, oh, you know, John Cena, you know, Hulk Hogan, like whatever. And they're like, oh, yeah, of course. You know, there's not anyone who doesn't know like what wrestling is, professional wrestling. So it's wild. But sometimes I will say I get offended when people are like, oh, do you like hold the little round cards and like tell them what round they're? I'm like, no, bitch, we don't, A, don't have those. And B, I kick ass. That's what I do.
You're like, oh, there's a gay dude. There's a gay dude named Justin Sylvester who does that now. And I'll be on the ring like,
oh my God, you'd be the best card boy. I love it.
I would totally. But this is my problem. This is why I can't be a card boy. Because I would have a few drinks waiting on the side for me. So by round four, I would be so lit. They'd be dragging me out of like, literally Paul Bearer would come back from the dead to drag me out of that thing.
I'm dead. Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's, oh my God, I can like, I just can't believe I like suppressed all those things. Like, you know, Bret Michaels.
Well, yeah, and it's things that you don't like, why would you be thinking about wrestling, you know? But then all of a sudden when you do, it just comes back. It's crazy.
What's the average lifespan of a wrestler? Like, oh, it's, career span.
It just depends. Like I said, The Rock comes back sometimes. Stone Cold comes back sometimes. Ric Flair still comes back. So it just depends. For women, I feel like it is a much shorter because, you know, if you want to have kids, that's unfortunately you can't wrestle while you have kids. You can come back after, but a lot of women don't do that. They don't want to leave, you know, their kids at home, which I understand. So it just all depends.
I love this conversation.
Oh, this is so fun.
This
You're
was
so
the
easy
bomb.
To talk to. You're awesome.
Well, thank you so much for this conversation. Tell everybody where they can find Bear With Us.
So you can find Bear With Us, B-A-R-E, with us on anywhere you get your podcasts. It comes out every single Thursday. And yeah, I hope you guys like it as much as I do.
And where can I get this wine at? Because you know I'm going to order it today.
CapoCagna.com. CapoCagna. But only order it if you're not a wine snob, because I don't want any wine snobs drinking my wine.
Watch me get in and be like, damn, this is the bomb.
It's amazing, especially if every bottle is less than $20. So it's amazing.
I taste hints of rabbit foot and cholera in this wine.
Rabbit foot. I'm dead. Oh, I love it.
Oh my God. I can really, really taste the Vaseline. Yeah.
I love a good Vaseline in my wine.
Right?
Who
doesn't? Girl, who doesn't?
Oh my God, I love it.
God, I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Vanessa?
Yes?
Does your man know when you take a number, dude?
Yes.
I can't believe that. I can't do it. I really can't do it.
Well, listen, after being married for 8 years, you cannot have a stomachache like that. Like, it's crazy. But it's so funny. I was dying laughing. You guys were talking because the very first trip we went together out of town, we were going to Palm Springs. We were at the Parker, and you know, like the bathroom doors are just like French doors that you can see and hear everything through. Yeah. And I was so stressed out that I was finally just like, okay, I'm going to say something. So we're on our way, we're driving. And I finally just said to him, if I get up and go to the lobby for no reason, don't ask me where I'm going. And he just like started dying laughing. We both started dying laughing. And then of course, first thing in the morning, he got up and I was like, where are you going? He's like, to the lobby. And it really just like kind of cleared the air. And we both kind of knew what that meant. And we didn't have to like be weird about it or whatever. So we had that conversation really quickly.
How long have you guys been together?
We've been together for 10 years, married 8.
Do you still go to the lobby?
No.
You see, that's where you're f***ing up in your marriage. That's where you have messed up in your marriage. You should still be going to the lobby.
No, neither.
Your man should never see you.
Well, he doesn't see me. I mean, I close the door. We have like a designated, like, you know, there's a bathroom downstairs. That's always like, that's the poop bathroom. You know, everybody kind of knows. It's like the half bath that's like off to the side.
I will forever hide that in my marriage.
That's funny. I think Leah, she was awesome though. And like the whole story about the pandas in quarantine, they're both so hot. I mean, you could just imagine that they would be like getting it on like crazy. So it's hilarious that she was
100%.
Like. I love too what you guys were saying. Isn't it funny though, when you do talk about the WWE or wrestling or whatever, like even if you don't follow it anymore, there is some weird like childhood nostalgia that comes up with it when you start to think about like the characters and like everyone knows what it is.
No, for sure. There's no way you didn't have at least one action figure from the WWE or one person that you were crushing on. Because, by the way, like as a gay youth, as a child, to see sweaty men in underwear and thigh-high boots, like I was like, yes, like I'll watch WWE, Dad.
Right. It's a gay man's dream, right?
You know, it was like a young gay man's dream because we never had like. This is going to be crazy. Do you remember back in the day when HBO did Real Sex?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So real, like, again, you know, I grew up, I was born in 1986. So the 90s were like my formative years in the early 2000s. And, you know, Skinamax was like, when all the little 13-year-old boys were trying to watch Skinamax.
Yeah.
And like trying to like, you know, peep a pay-per-view situation.
Right.
They were only showing women, like it was just boobs, and like boobs didn't do anything for me.
Right.
And I, you know, wrestling, and every now and then HBO would have a Real Sex thing, and you could see like a man or hear about a gay story at a swingers retreat or something.
Yeah.
Those were like my two things. That and a Calvin Klein underwear box.
I forgot about that show. Oh my God. Now that you said that, all these like images are flashing back in my head.
No, for sure. Like it was like the only thing that you could like really see. Cause you know, you like, even my mom would be like, I can't believe they just show women like that on TV. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, everyone thought she was like appalled that like, you know, to us, we were like, yeah, we can't believe they only like they show women like that. But she was meaning, I can't believe they don't make men show themselves on TV.
Right, as well.
Like I never really thought about wrestling that much. And I never really thought like what it meant to me to like watch those things, like and why I watched them. Like I didn't watch them for the violence, girl. I wanted to see Bret Hart in that spandex.
That's funny. That's a funny realization, right?
Mm-hmm. But it also like it's weird because like what I normally date in my life is dark haired, olive skinned men. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite wrestlers at the time was dark haired olive skin. So now I'm like looking at the comparisons, like, you know, like when you're 13 years old and you're going through that puberty moment, like you look back at the things that you were, that were put in your face that at some point, you know, I thought they were like, oh, I thought they had good hair and they were muscular, but really, I was crushing on them.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That is crazy. I love that.
Isn't it wild?
It is. But that shows like, yeah, it's like kind of like where your mind, your body knew your taste back then, even if you didn't yet.
Oh my God. My mind knew some crazy. When I think back on like some of the things, like, and like when people are like, I didn't know you were gay. I'm like, bitch. Like I'm thinking back on the times where I was like, I can't believe I was that gay.
Right. Like you felt like it was obvious to other people.
I thought it was super obvious to other people. I knew it was super obvious to other people, but it probably subconsciously, I wanted it to be super obvious because I didn't want to hide anymore.
Right, right.
I didn't want to run. And like, I never had the balls to just come out and say it ever.
Yeah.
But I just was like, at some point in my life, I was like, I just can't really hide this anymore. And it just seems so stupid to do that.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
No, absolutely. And I think, well, and it was a different time, right? So now we've talked about this before. And now it seems like there's a movement towards it being more accepted at a younger age than back then.
100%. You know? My friend, you know, he was like, you know, it must be so crazy to be like a Black man going through everything right now.
Right.
And it also must be, as an American, also crazy, no matter what party you support or no matter where, you know, your allegiance is, because there's so much turmoil going on in the country that like, as an American, it must be crazy, but as a Black man, it must be crazy. And I was like, yeah, but you know, when I was a child, I was Black and gay in a very segregated place.
Right, right.
And I can't even unpack that for you because out of the fear, like I went there with my sip with Nina. I totally went there.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I went there. But there are things that I can't even say because I wouldn't want my mother to even have to deal with them. Like the feelings that I had, the things that I went through in the hands of other kids. Like I couldn't do it until 50 years from now. My mother's 110 and she can't read. Mm-hmm. Or she don't know what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. And I only say that because, yes, it is hard for us right now. It really is. Yeah. It's hard for an American. It's hard for a Black American. But damn, it wasn't that as hard as a Black gay teen in the South Louisiana. Like,
right.
It was nuts.
Right.
It was nuts.
And don't you think it's interesting and kind of beautiful and kind of symbolic that these two major kind of movements are crossing, like with Pride and all Black Lives Matter and Black, like all at this like same symbolic time in 2020?
I don't think it's symbolic. What I think it is, it was God's way of saying, you need to stop marginalizing people, hurt people, hurt people. And if you as a Black person say all Black Lives Matters, you can't say that without saying Black Trans Lives Matter, because it defeats the purpose.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It defeats the purpose. So yes, I will help you through this movement. I will give a pandemic and I will send the Myrtle Hornets and God damn it, I'm going to send the aliens in July. But
all your conspiracy theories I always see you posting.
Oh, I'm about to get to another one. But
your dust cloud.
The dust cloud is coming. The asteroid is going to like pass right by us. It's all of these things that are like, the universe is like, I am sending these things to you so you guys can start loving one another and wake up. Like you need to be so woke at this moment that you need to stop seeing color. You need to stop seeing sexuality. You need to stop seeing gender. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm so proud that people are starting to recognize, you know, trans lives, Black trans lives, but I'm embarrassed that we didn't recognize them before.
That it took this long. Yeah.
And we built our whole culture on freedom and, you know, not being oppressed and rising up, yet we cannot pick the hand up of a trans brother or sister is weird and whack. Everybody keeps on saying, why are Breonna Taylor and why are Elijah McCain so different? Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna read a tweet, because you know I host that Bravo thing, Amplify Our Voices. It's amazing. I'm so proud to do that. And we get people from all walks of life, all different shows. We had an ally on the other day. And we talk about all these things and we talk about it in a very frank way because frankly, we need to have these conversations. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I read this tweet from this woman who said, and she was obviously, I'm going to call her a Karen.
I was going to say, was she a Karen?
Well, you tell me if she was a Karen.
Okay.
What about our voices? Question mark. They are always silenced. Exclamation mark. why all of a sudden you Black people coming out of the woodwork thinking you can get away with anything, period. It's BS, exclamation mark. We all bleed the same blood, exclamation mark. Teach your Black community to just obey the law. Don't resist, etc., question mark. You know the people I'm talking about. Don't be stupid. To which someone replied, double hands.
Ugh. You know where it got me right out the gate? Not like the you. You people. Like that infuriates me. That's a beyond a Karen.
And this is why we are having these conversations for these two people who decided that they needed to step into the comments on something that was supposed to be positive and uplifting. And I'm going to break this down bit by bit. When she says, what about our voices? I'm going to be honest. White voices have been the loudest voices for about a century.
Yep. That's someone who fully does not understand anything about white privilege. So in denial.
In denial. They are always silenced. I have never in my life, a white woman got killed in Italy. And I have seen 17 documentaries on it.
Yeah.
It's called Amanda Knox. That story was not silenced. I have watched 17 stories about Dan Broderick. There was two Lifetime movies. There's a Bravo TV show. There's several books about Dan Broderick who died at the hands of a white woman. I watched Dateline. Those people's stories are not silenced. They're not silenced. I watched them time and time again, but boo. So that's BS. Why all of a sudden you Black people coming out of the woodwork thinking you can get away with anything? Well, to answer the first part of that, about that, while all of a sudden you Black people are coming out of the woodwork, because now we have allies.
Right.
Now we have people who are not Black coming out, standing with us and saying, I'm with you and I will help you get through this time. Tell me how I can help you.
Right.
This podcast. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you, everybody who works on here. We have told some really unbelievable stories from both sides. And that's why we feel like we can come out of the woodwork right now. I'm not going to go into the get away with everything thing, because obviously we cannot get away with everything.
Right.
Because right here in Aurora, there was a man walking down the street going back to his house, and he wore a hood and a mat and a ski hat, and he got pulled over by the cops and he's no longer alive. So we cannot get away with everything. And that's in the same city that a man shot up a movie theater.
A white man.
A white man shot up a movie theater and got escorted to a police car and is still living today to talk about it.
Yeah.
We're also talking about two white people sitting on their front lawns holding guns at protesters the other day.
Oh yeah, the meme that's become of the two of them. Yeah.
While a Black man paid for groceries with a fake $20 bill and is not here to live to talk about it. So I don't think we can get away with anything. That's not what I would say. Maybe check your sources.
The ignorance is just mind blowing.
The ignorance. My favorite part, we all bleed the same blood. Actually, you are correct. That's the one part about it that you are correct. So teach your community to just obey the law, don't resist, etc. Well, I didn't know sleeping in your own home, Breonna Taylor, was illegal and resisting. I didn't know walking home from a convenience store in your own neighborhood because you're cold with a jacket on and maybe a hood over your head. If I want to walk around in a Pippi Longstockings meet Spider-Man get up every day of my life, I'm allowed to. So I didn't really understand the tweet.
Yeah.
But now that I have broken it down, it makes sense to me that this person is delusional and also afraid to admit certain things because she's afraid her own existence might garner some guilt.
Right. They don't want to admit the guilt or accept the guilt or even accept the privilege, because along with that, then the guilt kicks in.
100%. And I have said this time and time again, I think everybody gets it wrong. I have certainly got it wrong throughout this process. I have certainly asked the wrong questions to people. But I'm learning as I go. I'm learning as a member of the alphabet people, as Dave Chappelle calls us, the LGBTQ plus community. I'm learning something new every day, even about gay men.
Right.
Pronouns, things of that nature. But I'm asking the questions. So my question to you, lady, on Instagram under Bravo's thing, are you asking the questions?
Probably not.
Are you asking yourself the real questions? Like, what is this really about? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that George Floyd had to die. And I'm really sorry that Breonna Taylor is not alive to see her 27th birthday. That was 3 weeks ago. And I'm really sad that people in Aurora won't be able to see or feel or experience Elijah's kindness or his violin or his massage therapy or his kind heart. Mm-hmm. But those people's lives started a revolution that I think and I hope will change a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's white versus black. I think what it is us versus people who are not willing to accept that we are all equal.
Exactly.
Let me just let y'all know. I know some white women riding hard right now, ready to go to war with us. I know some 25-year-old kids who are not black, ready to go to war with us. Mm-hmm. I know some people of trans experience ready to go to war with us. I know some white men who are like, I cannot believe this shit is happening. I know people of all races that are ready to go to war with us because they understand that this is not about race. This is about human decency. So do the right thing. Talk to the right people. Have those uncomfortable conversations. But most importantly, open at least one eye and just take a gander at what's going on and listen to what people are saying. I know we're passionate people. We get loud, but that's the only way we're really heard, you know?
We have to be loud.
I love that you said we. That brings it to your mind. Because you get it, bitch.
I get it. As much as I can get it as a white woman, I get it.
But you're right. It's we, you know? When I heard that song, it's not called Black People Are the World. It's called We Are the World, you know?
I love that song.
Oh my God, I cried to it the other day.
Oh, did you really?
Literally.
Oh my God.
I cried to it the other day. It like took me for a minute, you know? And it's going to be good. It's going to be, I don't know. We really have to do it. I don't want to do this again in 10 years.
I know. That's the thing. It is cyclical, but there's hope in the fact that this time, you know, feels different.
100%. And you know what? I'm going to challenge everybody this week. When you go home and instead of turning on MSNBC or Fox News or CNN, grab a newspaper, read the news. Because reading the news is different than seeing the news. Mm-hmm. And it's not until you read the news that you really feel it. You really feel what is going on in the world, in politics, in pop culture. Like, read it. Read it from an unbiased source because that's where your idea and your own opinion will be formed. You know what I mean?
Right, that's an interesting way of looking at it.
Somebody gave me that little tidbit the other day and it was really informative.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's the most important. It's the most important because people can spend some because I see both sides. I can watch a news television program and see what side they're on. And that's what they're all about. It's not about giving you the news anymore. You know what I mean? Right. I don't know.
All right. Well, we took a turn. I mean, an important turn. You know, we started talking about, you know, pooping in relationships to really things that actually matter in life. You know,
we took a few turns, but you know what? Yeah. That's what Justice Sip is all about. I'm so proud to be on a show where we could take turns and go from highs to lows and laugh and cry and just really be us. Mm-hmm. And again, I thank everybody who works on this show because it's really been a labor of love and I really appreciate everybody. And I just appreciate everybody listening and tuning in every week because we do it for you guys. And thank you. And don't forget to rate, review, share this podcast with friends. Share this podcast with people who need it right now. You know, share this podcast. If you don't want to have this uncomfortable conversation, girl, send this link and say, fast forward to hour and 10 in. You need to listen. You need to hear this, you know? Mm-hmm. subscribe. Let us know what, subscribe, and let us know what you liked, what you didn't like about this. Leave it in the comments. We are open to suggestions. And if you have any questions, follow me on Instagram at The Lady Sitter. I do a Q&A every Monday and Friday where you can ask me questions about anything relevant going on, and just come chill with me. I'm cool. I'm no question is the wrong question.
Yeah.
And that's it for this week. And I'll see you guys next week.